Good morning, everyone. It is November 15th, Monday, 2021. And this is the ADK Homeroom, your home away from homeroom. I am your host, Frank. What a Monday we have out there. We've got snow on the ground here in the Adirondacks. Got to love it. Great weekend. Spent a lot of the weekend on the road driving up to Nutcracker rehearsal. Got to get ready for the holiday ballet shows. The daughter's in that, and it's like over an hour each way, but I guess that's what you get when you live in the middle of the Adirondack State Park. You end up driving and driving and driving to get anywhere. Some amazing football results of both kinds of football over the weekend. Detroit Lions, of course, finding a way to stay perfect in the win column. Perfect zero, that is, with a tie against the quarterbackless Steelers, or at least the Roethlisberger Steelers. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, the United States men's national team coming up with another dosas zero victory in Ohio over Mexico. Super result there. Mexico leaving Cincinnati, the Mexican fans walking out of there. They were hoping for a win. Walked out very, very disappointed. I haven't seen people leaving a venue so disappointed since I saw people going in looking for laughs at an Aziz Ansari show. I mean, they were devastated not to get the win over the United States right there. But too bad. Dosa zero again. That specter coming back to haunt. Great job for the United States. Also watched Red Notice with the fam. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, the big message of today's podcast. The big message here. Been thinking about this. And there's a lot of people I think that could benefit from hearing this. So I am going to say it. When something is your fault, that is a good thing. You have to embrace it when it is your fault. It's a great thing if something is your fault. The tragedies that are happening out there are when things are nobody's fault, when you don't know whose fault they are. Let's just take a step back here. Take a step back. Think about faults. I know you might be thinking this is crazy. What do you mean it's a good thing if it's my fault that something happened? Oh, come on. Let's think about this. Take a step back, right? So think about, you know, a divorce. Whose fault is that? Well, we have no-fault divorce settlements, I think, in most 50 states here in the United States. Whose fault is a Detroit Lions loss, right? Or a tie, like this weekend. It's hard to pin it down, right? A tie this weekend, they say tying's like kissing your sisters. The Lions, they really leaned into that yesterday. There was deep tongue action on that tie from the Lions yesterday. Oh, so amazing how they can be so consistently bad. So you're saying something is your fault, but you look at a sports team getting a tie. Exactly where is the fault in the Lions organization? They've won one playoff game in 50 years. It's hard to find who exactly is at fault. They've had so many people go in and out during that time. Very difficult. You think to the obvious ones, right? Supply chain crisis. Whose fault? Where exactly is the fault there? The Wuhan pandemic. Where is the fault there? Is it someone's fault? Or is it just a random occurrence? Just something that happens in the world? The big message, the big point here is that obviously, I think we would much rather have it be a person's fault because then you can address it much more easily. If it's just an entropic effect of the world, if it's just random nature, if it's a metaphysically given fact that this thing is going to happen, that the Lions are going to be terrible, that there is going to be a supply chain crisis, then what are you going to do? You're going to take up arms against reality itself? I mean, that's a lot harder task than just saying, oh, here's, we got Bob in the supply chain down here replacing all the widgets with little pipe bombs. Well, we got to get this guy out of here, right? I mean, that's a much more addressable problem. It's a great thing if something is your fault, right? Two big reasons why, if you look at it from a systemic process, why something is wonderful if you can find the fault, if you can assign the fault. Number one, right? You just gain some information. It's always better to have more information. That is a general principle. The idea that ignorance is bliss, that is for fools. That is for people who can't handle the truth, right? In the Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson sense of things. You have to be able to handle the truth. If you're out there thinking that you're better off being ignorant, well then you are so ignorant that you haven't been educated to the true value of knowledge. Always better to have more information, right? Like if you go to a Brass Against concert and you see Sophie on stage, you know it's her fault that no one is sitting in the first row. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see that? So Brass Against is this cover band that has a lot of brass covering rock songs, covering not just rock songs, but like alternative rock and things like that. And over the weekend, Sophia, she called somebody up on stage. She's their singer. And yeah, she peed in his face. I'm not making that up, and you heard it right. So you can go find that video online if you think I'm making it up. So if you see no one sitting in the front row, you know whose fault it is at the Brass Against concert, right? And that's good to have that information, right? You can act on it. It is actionable. You're not left in the dark. The second reason, right, why it's important from a systems point of view to have the ability to assign fault is that now with this information, you are much better at preparing for the future. You're better at avoiding similar problems in the future. And you can also probably just not just avoid them, but take steps to make the whole process better, right? Major League Baseball, right? Viewership is down. It's boring. I'm just going to say it. It's boring. Major League Baseball, there are not as many hits per at bat. Yes, you get the home runs, but they've changed it. The average for the best team in the league's batting average now is about what the worst team in the league's batting average was like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's just completely changed. And there's other things too, though, that have changed, right? Gradually over time, Major League Baseball, the time between pitches, oh my gosh, takes forever, right? Wouldn't it be great if you could say, hey, Otani-sensei, good job being the most incredible player, totemo awesome, but how about you take less than 40 minutes per pitch, right? If we knew that it was this one thing, if we knew that it was even just two things, we could address that. It would be great, right? Supply chain crisis, pandemic. We don't know whose fault it is, but if it were just random nature's fault, if it were just chaos, if it were just, you know, some sort of law that makes these things happen, well, then that's much worse than knowing if it is some particular person's fault, right? In the pandemic, if these things are just going to happen every now and then, I don't want to say every 100 years because I don't think this current pandemic is as bad as the ones that come up every 100 years or so. But if you want to say that these pandemics just happen, like an old Bloom County with Oliver Wendell Holmes staring up at the stars, just happen, part of nature, that's tough to work against. That's tough to change. Can be done, right? Can be done, but that's tough. Reality is a big obstacle. You know, vaccines, new pills from Merck and Pfizer, monoclonal antibody cocktails. And let's be honest, right? The old steroids like dexamethasone, these things are somewhat effective too. So you can come back and you can fight against reality. You can work to make the world that you are given better. But, you know, it's a lot easier, a lot more efficient to make progress if you can identify the exact source of the problem. If you can say, oh, it's the chocolate factory, right? As John Stewart said in his famous monologue about why we should suspect the Wuhan Virus Institute. If we can suspect the WIV there, then we can address it directly. We can say, hey, stop doing that, right? Or if you know it's the terribly lax Chinese meat market rules and their agriculture rules, if you know that that's going to greatly increase the risk of a pandemic like this, then you can say, all right, we start here. We're not going to do this anymore. How about we not have blood that might contain deadly viruses sloshing around our feet while we go out shopping for a New Year, a Lunar New Year firecracker? How about we don't have that, right? Maybe that would be a good place to start and move on from there. Oh, it's the chocolate factory. Oh, it's the virus institute, right? So this would be a good thing from a systems point of view. Those are the two things, right? You gain information, then you have a starting point. You can make some very quick progress and very significant progress. Now that's from a system standpoint, but now let's get a little personal about this fault issue, right? Lights go down. This is the self-help portion of the program here, right? Got the blue LEDs around the stage preparing for your Tony Robbins spotlight dramatic entrance right here. That electronic music. Okay, yeah, I think maybe I'll name this portion of the program after Tony's book, right? Tony's book, Awaken the Giant. Yep. Not even going to make a single reference to my wife saying the same thing. Except I just did. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. Come on, Tony. Awaken the Giant. All right. Anyway, yeah, so it's definitely personal section here instead of systems, but maybe not quite that personal, I guess. Anyway, my whole dang life, I see people at the individual level trying to worm their way out of being at fault. And people shouldn't do that. It's a good thing if something is your fault to a large extent. I talk to my five-year-old, right? I say, hey, buddy, why do you have all these popcorn kernels all over the new rug? I don't know. It wasn't me. Yeah, but listen, buddy, there's an Elmo chair pushed up under the popcorn cupboard and you're holding the lid of the popcorn jar. I don't know. It wasn't me. You know, he's five and he tries to wiggle out of responsibility. It's just this natural reaction against things, right? But it still functions at the national level too, right? Hey, Joe, why are gas prices $5,000 per milliliter? Oh, I don't know. It wasn't me. Yeah. Listen, Joe, gas was like a hell of a lot cheaper 8 months ago before you got here. And also, you hired an energy secretary who literally laughs at the idea that policy will change gas prices. Well, I don't know. It wasn't me. Okay. Yeah. See, constantly people try to worm their way out of being the one who's at fault for something. And I guess psychologically, that feels bad. I think we need to start moving past it, though. I think we need to recognize that rationally, it's a big word on this blog, or this podcast, I should say, this oral blog, rational. And rationally, I think that we should be much of the time grateful and pleased if we are the ones at fault. It's a marvelous thing. Because then you can control it. You can fix it. Your actions can change it. Now, look, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, right? But let's think. If you're an alcoholic, and then you compare that to somebody else whose kid just died from a random event, just out there in the world, impossible to control, horrible disease, some traffic accident. And yes, alcoholism is hard. I'm not making light of it. I'm choosing it because it is hard. It's difficult. But my point is that it is controllable by your actions. It is your fault in that sense. And that's a start. It gives you somewhere to work. It is far, far, far better than the person out there who just had some random accident that they had no ability to control. And that's taken away a kid, right? You would definitely switch places because at least you got a chance if it's your fault. At least you've got a chance, even if it's really, really, really hard, right? And then there's heartbreak, right? Heartbreak, one of the worst things in the world for somebody to go through, right? Someone's in love with you and you don't love her back. Or you're in love with someone and he doesn't love you back. And there's just nothing to be done about it. That's just the way two people are. You know, the stupid AF world, the genetics and the luck and the timing. And Jennifer still wants Brad, but Brad's off with Angelina. Sorry, Jennifer. And that's just the way it is. That sucks. And it's no one's fault. And that's why people ask, you know, what did I do? What could I do? Was it my fault? You know, they want to know so they can change it. The worst thing is when it's nobody's fault. The worst thing is when it's nobody's fault, right? So that's it. That's the big self-help piece for today. There's your Tony Robbins thing, is that when something is your fault, welcome it. It is far better than an alternative where no one is to blame. No one ever is to blame. What a great Howard Jones song that was, huh? So relish it when you can assign responsibility. That is a step in the right direction. You gain information and you can take action towards fixing the problem. And relish it even more. Grok it. Cherish it. Embrace it even more when it's your own fault. Your own fault. Just like Harley Warren and Statement of Randolph Carter. Because then, like Harley Warren, you can go down into the miasma-soaked tombs and actually do something about the color out of space, the menace from beyond time. Color out of space is a different story than Randolph Carter. But look, you have to see the good in the situation when something is your own fault. You don't even need another person when it's your fault, just you. And you have a chance. You can change it up. All right, so there you go. That's it. Cheerful Monday morning vibes here. Don't run from things being your fault. Grok it, cherish it, embrace it. We've all had things that are our fault. Now you can start to see the good in that. Hopefully. A couple other items to check off here on this Monday morning. Let's see here. I already talked about brass against. Wow. Can cross that off the concert list there, at least if you're planning on sitting in the front row. Holy cow. Sophie. Her last name is Eurista, too. What are the odds? What are the odds? Perhaps self-fulfilling naming there. Next item. Red Notice. Okay. Ryan Reynolds tweeting out that Red Notice, his movie with Gal Gadot and The Rock, Ryan Reynolds tweeting out over the weekend that it was Netflix's biggest 24-hour debut viewing event ever. Well, that's great. Now, of course, there'll be some spoilers here, as always. So you can skip to the last piece of this podcast, starting in about 6 minutes from now, if you want to skip ahead and you don't want the spoilers, because this movie is pretty new. There won't be major spoilers here, though. Anyway, here's what I have to say about Red Notice. Red Notice, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to challenge yourself, to go out there and find a way to enjoy the movie. Okay? I want you to do that. Now look, that's not going to be hard for a lot of people. A lot of people, let's face it, Red Notice, most viewed 24-hour debut viewing period, as Ryan is tweeting. Also, 92% positive user score on Rotten Tomatoes. That's fantastic. A lot of people really like it. But here's the thing. The critics' score for Rotten Tomatoes is only about 40%. And I suspect, not that you guys are giving me all that much feedback. I would love to have more feedback from you ADK Homeroom listeners out there. I know you're out there because I, like Ryan Reynolds and Netflix, get the downloads, get the information. But I would love to have more detailed feedback. Anyway, I suspect that the people who are listening to this podcast are a little bit more on the intellectual side, perhaps tend a little bit more towards that 40% than that 92% due to perhaps some deep-seated hipsterism, dare I say it, or maybe just more of a critical eye. And people have been sort of trained to see, oh, well, there's a plot hole here and I can see it. Some other people might not be able to discern this plot hole, but it's obvious as day to me, and ugh, I can't stand this movie anymore. Or silly conceits, right? The idea that you've got an art thief that can move with such impunity across national borders and live like they're billionaires. Obvious twists in the movie that exploit tropes that are as old as Don Quixote. But look, so I feel like a lot of people will be tempted to look at this and say, oh, it's just silly, it's just dumb. But come on, guys, this is your challenge. This is your opportunity to find something to enjoy in this movie, because there's a lot of stuff to like in here. There is a lot of stuff that is really fun. There are action sequences. There are amazing fights. There's funny lines that are delivered extremely well. And here's your challenge. Focus on the best. Focus on the best in art, just as in life. This really is turning into a Tony Robbins episode of the podcast. But seriously, so often we try to look for the worst in art, and we try to nitpick and we try to tear it down. You really just try to look for the best in art. Try to look for some amazing stuff. This movie was made, director, writer, Ross and Marshall Thurber, same guy who worked on Skyscraper with the Rock. Now, here's an example of what I mean, right? If you watched Skyscraper with the Rock, there's a scene where Rock's falling out of the skyscraper and he takes off his artificial leg. Yeah, he's a below the knee prosthetic type of guy in this movie. I think his character was a veteran. Anyway, Rock is falling out of the 80th floor window. He whips off his artificial leg, double Yurchenko's himself back around to face the skyscraper, and hooks back onto some girder in the skyscraper structure with the artificial leg. And then the Rock hauls himself back up to safety by climbing up his own artificial leg / grappling hook 80 stories above the ground. So can you find a way to enjoy that? I sure hope so, because it's awesome. Is it silly? Is it ridiculous? Yes, absolutely. Could you do that in real life? No. Has anyone ever done that in real life? No. And people have tried some crazy stuff in real life. Did I mention what happened at the Brass Against concert this weekend? People try crazy stuff out there, but I have yet to see someone fall out of an 80-story window with an artificial leg in place and then whip it off, backflip, hook onto the building, and climb up over their own artificial leg back into the building. I haven't seen that yet, right? But the point is, this is art. You can appreciate that not because it's the same as life, but in large part because it's different than life. And there are all kinds of things about art that are just completely different from real life that we just accept, right? Even in the best movies. Do you think people are two-dimensional and made out of light in real life? Not unless they're Bob Ross, they're not. Not even Bob, right? Seriously, art is art. You need to go into the art in the arts world. You don't constantly try to haul the art back into your world. You don't need to take an AR-15 and go all bursty from the outside in, or try to like attach some sort of dragnet and yank the art back into the real world. Go into the art, right? Right? It's not going to make you feel good, you snarky hipsters out there, to just constantly tear down art. Just sit back with your popcorn and your A&W frosty mug and focus on what is beautiful, what is best in life. According to Conan, too much criticism, not enough appreciation out there, right? We don't even have blogs and podcasts and newspaper columnists out there who are appreciators. We only have critics. What does that say? What does that even say about us? We're chock full of critics and flat busted on appreciators. Come on, civilization. Let's up with the appreciation. Now, here's the next thing to notice about Red Notice. Ha, 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 ha. The people who say, listen to the experts. These are the same people who will make fun of Red Notice for being so silly, right? Like Malcolm Gladwell, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned this on, I think, the October 3rd podcast. Malcolm Gladwell said that, you know, Norm MacDonald passed away, and Gladwell was like, well, you know, I don't really get Norm's humor, but I know he's super funny because the experts say that Norm is super funny. I mean, first of all, you know what else says that Norm is super funny? His 50 million YouTube views, okay? And the guy was on Saturday Night Live for 6 years. He was popular. You don't have to be ashamed to admit that. But yes, experts did like Norm too, and Malcolm Gladwell is right about that. But you know what makes them experts is they're successful professional comedians. And when Malcolm said this, everybody was like, ooh, Malcolm's so rationalist. He doesn't get the comedy himself, but he acknowledges that it's good because the experts say so. We should all listen to the experts. But then I anticipate the same sort of people that are going to be out there tearing Red Notice apart for the silliness and the plot holes. Yeah, but you know what? You know what? You know who's an expert at movies? The Rock. You know who's an expert at comedy? Ryan Reynolds. Do you think they know a thing or two about making movies? I think they do, right? The director, Thurber, he made Dodgeball. Do you think he knows comedy? He is an expert. He is a successful professional director. So when you say listen to the experts and then you go out here and you tear things like this apart, that is not being consistent. Maybe you should just, you know, stop detrapping. Stop detrapping all that bile and just enjoy it, right? Oh my gosh. You've seen that hot chick in the white leotard on the internet? She dips her elbows in a five-year-old's finger paint set and then she rolls around in the canvas. It's a sick parody of like splash porn or something. And all these intellectuals out there are saying, oh, this is amazing art. I'm going to sit here mesmerized by this. This is unbelievably good. Yeah, in fact, it sucks. And yes, I did insult you by choosing mesmerized, and possibly you didn't even realize it until I pointed that out. So you need to just get off your high horse and admit that Red Notice is funny already, and the experts are the ones who are making this treat, this amazing cinematic confection for your enjoyment. So yeah, I enjoyed Red Notice. I had a heck of a lot of fun. Really good. So, next. Wow, I'm just noticing. My wife somehow managed to slip in here and put a note over here without me even seeing it. My wife's a ninja. Holy cow. That's impressive. I wonder if she heard the Awaken the Giant joke and just had to summon herself up here. I don't know. All right, last point for today is inflation. Inflation, lots of discussion here. Bad news came out last week, of course, highest inflation over 30 years. October reporting 6.2% increase in the consumer price index. Three important things here that no one else is talking about, at least not much. Number one, a lot of people saying the question is whether inflation is transitory or whether it's here to stay. Okay, I've got news for you. Everything is transitory from a galactic perspective. Okay. That doesn't really matter. We're all transitory in the long run, baby. We're all going out one way or another. And this inflation has been here since half a year ago, since the start of last summer. It hasn't gone away. It's only getting worse. It's been half of a year already, and there's no guarantee how many years we get, right? Late 70s, early 80s, that's over now. That was bad inflation. It's gone now, so was that transitory? Sure, from some point of view. So my point is that transitory is a stupid word to be using for this. Next, price of a gallon of gas, way, way, way down compared to January 1st at the start of this year in the United States, if you use Bitcoin to pay for it. Oh yeah, they're not talking about this. Go do the math. Bitcoin has doubled since January 1st. It's about 30,000. It's about 60,000 now. Gas is, you know, not quite doubled. It's gone from $2.25 a gallon to $3.40 a gallon in the United States, according to the EIA website, EIA.gov, Energy Information Administration, I guess. And so do the math, right? That's 75 micro Bitcoin, 75 times 10 to the negative 6 Bitcoins per gallon, 75 micro Bitcoins per gallon of gas on January 1st, and 52 micro Bitcoins per gallon of gas now. So it went down by almost 33%, 75 to 50, roughly. If you're using Bitcoin for your purchases, the price of gas actually went down by a lot. Oh my gosh, right? And that's with the threat of government regulation constantly hanging over Bitcoin's head. Various totalitarian regimes, including ours, right, threatening Bitcoin all the time. China already gave it the big whack, the big whammy. So, crypto, you know, it's going to take over the world. If the government were not threatening it, it would be already pretty much the only money that people use. So until government does that, Bitcoin's just going to become crypto in general. Shouldn't just be saying Bitcoin, but crypto in general, it's going to become more and more and more of a threat. And, you know, thank goodness the powers that be are so technologically illiterate that they were way, way, way behind in legislating the internet, and they're caught flat-footed again by cryptocurrency, and they're way, way, way behind in legislating the existence, the life out of cryptocurrency. In the meantime, crypto is the place to be. Price of gas way down in crypto, and that just points out the power of that currency and how things should be, really. How things should be. The price of gas could be down 33% instead of up almost double. All right, the last thing about inflation here that hardly anyone is talking about is that this is all new to the kids out there, right? I lived through Carter Reagan and Paul Volcker at the Fed, 79 to 87. Those were some great years. Thank you, Paul V. But look, there is huge, huge educational opportunity out there right now with kids and inflation. They don't know what it is, and this opportunity is being squandered. I've been in the classroom. I was there 25 years, and I guarantee you now that there is not more than a single-digit percentage of classrooms in the country, probably decimal percentage of classrooms in the country right now, that are taking a day out of their curriculum to talk about what inflation is, how it steals value from you like a tax, and a very regressive tax, might I add, how it doesn't have to be that way, how it helps keep the government afloat. That is being ignored, this opportunity, this educational chance. And I promise you it's being ignored out there, and it shouldn't be. So those of you who are listening to this, go out, find a kid, talk to your own kids about inflation and what it means. Okay. So those are three things right there. Transitory or not is pointless when it's already been here 6 months. 75 microbitcoin per gallon in January 1st of this year versus 52 microbitcoin gallon per gallon today. So if you're using crypto, the price of gas has actually gone down, and that shows you how great things could be. And finally, that education on inflation is, like most things in education, abysmal. We are talking Detroit Lions level of competency in education in the United States. Really, really sad. All right, guys. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Can't wait to get into tomorrow's topic. You want a hint? Louis Parla. Some things are truly lost. Yes, that's right. If you recognize those as lines from Richard Wilbur's The Mind Reader, we are going to be talking about mind reading as a science. Probably won't be able to resist working the poem in there too, but mainly we're going over the status of mind reading as a science tomorrow, because people are sleeping on that. Really sleeping on that, pun intended. But they are. I see people out there talking about, oh, what if we get fusion power? Oh, how is that going to change the world? Oh, what if we have bio defenses that don't actually suck? Oh, what if we have a hypersonic glide missile? All these scenarios, and they're worth considering, but people are sleeping on the mind reading issue, and it's coming. It be coming. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Take care.